You're listening to Radio Influence.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Another damn week, Val, and...
Beans!
Here we are.
It's Monday. Yes, it is Monday, and we have a busy week ahead of us for the show. Wednesday, we have Rich Higgins joining us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and Friday, you're flying solo.
So I guess I have a busy week ahead of me.
Yeah, Friday is a solo show for Frank.
What will I be talking about Friday? I don't know. I just don't know.
Anything you want, almost.
Maybe we read some poetry together?
That would be nice. I'm sure people would enjoy that.
Okay. All right. I'll just kick some things around. How was your weekend?
It was okay. It was lonely, but then yesterday was good.
Good. Well, because everybody came home yesterday?
Everybody came home yesterday, and I'm having this issue. So we adopted my two dogs, Frank, right? Mm-hmm. And we adopted them from a neighbor they were her mom's dogs. Her mom got sick, sadly. And then she took the dogs into her house with her mom and she also has two dogs. There were four of them in the house. And then her mom sadly passed away and she couldn't keep all four dogs. So she was looking to give them to a loving home. And I said, hey, why don't we take these two beautiful dogs? You guys have seen pictures of them anyway.
Yeah.
Lily, the little one that smiles all the time, she occasionally will have a boo-boo in the house, you know, occasionally, which it happens, right? Well, they all went away and now she refuses to use the bathroom outside. Like she will only pee on my rug and poop.
She's very specific about where she defecates and pees.
Well, I got my carpets cleaned because I was like, all right, this'll do it.
It took me a long time to stop peeing on the rug myself.
I know. That's why I figured you could give me some tips.
Oh, I don't know. You just have to shame them to no end. That's what Lauren had to do to me. Shame me.
Put you in the corner.
Oh, man.
Oh, Lord. So I don't know what we're going to do. She just did it. I had her out with me all morning until the show. She was outside with me all morning. Did not go. We come inside, I go upstairs to try and tinker with something, and she goes on the floor in the entryway to the house.
Hmm.
So I'm getting frustrated.
Well, one day I hope to have a dog again, and I'm sure I'll be asking the same questions. But then I think I've seen so many of my friends and family get dogs and send them off for training for a week or two, and it really does a difference.
I made a call this morning, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
but, no. You know, we just have to make sure Aurora doesn't go peeing all over the floor and then we'll be fine.
No. I mean, there's going to be a little bit of a grace period. You got to give the babies a little bit of a grace period, but still, no. I'm not going to tolerate peeing on the floor once she gets past a certain age.
So Friday, I'm going to... a rally here in Carolina where it's a We Back Blue rally and I'll be speaking there. So that's going to be an all day affair for me on Friday. Hence why I will not be joining you Friday.
Oh, well, I said, you know, you said before we went live, it wasn't really there's not really a lot going on, but there was a quite a few sources of inspiration over the weekend.
Oh,
I
yes.
saw a lot of great rallies, especially in Rockaway. And then there was also we're seeing more of these younger people on. I saw TikTok videos coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Bleeding into Twitter. Just younger people. We're talking teens who are starting to red pill themselves, where a week and a half ago they said that, you know, that one girl, Julie or whatever her name is, I don't know, with the green hair.
Yeah.
Said she would have peed in Donald Trump's coffee a week ago if you asked her to. And now it's just they're starting to see it. And you know what's starting to trigger them is the idea, the very, very clear picture that's being formed now, that human trafficking has always been in the background of all of this theater.
Yes.
And it's interesting stuff.
It is the same thing that happened before the election of Donald Trump. That's what did the original awakening for people. It was the kids. And then after that, it was Epstein, a flood of new people with Epstein. And then now Maxwell seems to have triggered a whole new group of people, too. And when they start looking into seeing what happened and how Donald Trump's been handling this and look at the difference in the number of arrests of pedophiles under his administration versus the rest, it becomes very clear very, very quickly. And let's address this. I didn't know if we were going to talk about it at all, but I think that if we didn't, it would be kind of a disservice to folks because it's out there. Wayfair.
Mm-hmm.
So over the weekend, somebody, I guess, realized that there were listings on Wayfair, the you know, distributor, I guess you could call them, that it would be like a name of a cabinet, like a utility cabinet or a pillow or furniture. And the item was priced exorbitantly. Like I saw four pieces of art, like a little four piece baby art collection for like $200,000. And then there was like a utility cabinet for like, I don't know, $30,000 or $40,000 or $20,000. And so people started looking for these names of these items and finding that they happened to apparently match names in the Missing and Exploited Children database.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of went viral. And then the entire internet was looking up to see what was going on at Wayfair. And then Wayfair came out and made a statement, and they removed these items from their website and said they were listed there incorrectly and we had to take them down to rename them and reprice them. And I just wanted to get some background out of the way, Frank. Wayfair is a third party seller. Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
So they take other people's stuff. Other companies can list their stuff on Wayfair, and then Wayfair is like a clearing, like Amazon or Etsy or.
Oh yeah, I never, throughout the entire development of this story, I never really put too much stock into whether or not Wayfair was involved in something. It's the same for me. It was the same exact opportunity that we were uncovering where. We are seeing different types of terroristic or criminal elements that were using PlayStation Messenger as a way to communicate with each other. So throughout the development of this story, and it continues to be very intriguing stuff because it's not a small coincidence. It's very large.
Yeah.
And I don't think that the upper brass in Wayfair was part of it, but it is a third party platform. The same kind of thing was found on Etsy, going on Etsy, also on eBay. Amazon, eBay. Yeah. So,
look, this is the thing. There's a couple different things here. So I got this. I asked Tim runs his mouth. I said on his tweet, I said, what Wayfair thing? Cause I had no idea what was going on. And then I started researching it and I spent several hours on it. There were, you know, the things that could explain it, but nothing that really, you know, close the door for me. No explanation, like close, because this is how they do it. So, you know, nobody ever, some people thought, but, you know, they started taking this conspiracy, so to speak, and then blacklisting it immediately. Like, oh, look at the crazy conspiracy theorists, blah, 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 blah. But nobody ever really asserted that they were shipping these children in the packages that you'd get the furniture in.
Right.
Like,
well, Tracy, just like Hillary Clinton wasn't actually throwing dough at Comet Pizza.
Right.
You know, they thought that she was spinning dough at Comet Pizza. That's what they reduced the entire Pizzagate thing down to.
Yeah, it was bad news. They do this with everything. And you know what? We don't help the situation, to be quite honest. We don't. Because here's the problem. You find something like that, you don't immediately go to the internet with it. You gather every last piece of evidence you possibly can when nobody knows that you know that something is going on that's a little weird. You do all that background work first. Archive everything. Don't go straight and run and put it on the internet and then that's it. It's over. It's over. Once that happens, I saw gazillions of fake screenshots. I saw people sharing screenshots of items that actually did cost that much money. And the misinformation and disinformation out there over this just tainted the well 100%. It's tainted.
Oh, so yeah. Now,
I have no idea whether it's real or not. I don't know what's going on. And, you know, some people are like, well, it's not up to you. And I'm like, fine, good. Have fun.
No, at first, and still right now, see, you have to be a little guarded because he's like, is it a tinfoil trap?
Yep.
Is it a tinfoil hat trap? I don't know. But the one thing I do say is still, I don't know, I guess consistent with what's been thrown our way and how the media has been managed in the past is that there's no curiosity. I mean, I saw Ben Collins from NBC say that they, you know, that these Pizzagate and QAnon people they made Wayfair trend because they're falsely claiming that price glitches are proving that people are trafficking children. And then on the other hand, you go to places like Instagram where their fact checkers came on out and said that the cabinets, they are high priced because they're industrial.
That's bullshit.
So this is what I'm talking about. So there's no curiosity, and because there's no curiosity on some parts of the, you know, on our end of the neighborhood, people are jumping to go out there and prove something with beyond a shadow of a doubt. There are other people on the other side that are always looking to immediately debunk it and never be curious about it at all. So
the issue is this, is that, you know, there were some people saying, well, I called Wayfair and they said it's not true, that they're not doing that. First of all, how do they know? How does Wayfair know that third party seller was not doing that? They just made a statement that's not the case. Well, how do you know? Did you do an investigation in the last 3 hours to figure it out?
Yeah.
Like,
all you got to do is launder. It's money laundering again.
I know. Yes, it is money laundering. It appears to be, although there's no, you know, hardcore evidence of it. The appearances of it appear as though it's money laundering.
Did you see some of the weird ass comments under these items?
Yep.
And they're not comments from the last 5 days where people are just trolling. They are weird ass comments.
Yes, they are. And so nobody's going to fault anybody for being curious about this stuff. I mean, it happens. It's been documented before. They were using Craigslist for it. We were all conspiracy theorists for that, too. And, you know, it's, look, at the end of the day, whatever's going to happen with it happens with it. But it went pretty mainstream. Like, there are a lot of blue checks. Aubrey Huff is talking about it all day to yesterday, all day. Child trafficking, the elite, etc. And you can't say that that's a conspiracy theory anymore, people out there, because they've got two very high profile people with connections to some of the wealthiest and most powerful people in the entire world in jail. One of them didn't kill himself and the other one's in jail right now. And they're just, you know, part of the equation. Don't mind the mic move. I have to hold the mic because I'm in a different location today.
Okay. Anyway,
sorry about that. But yeah, so I mean, you know, there's no way anymore to get good information. There's just no way. So I can't look into it. Putting this down. There's no way to get good information. Because it's all destroyed. Like, all the listings are gone now, for the most part. The one I found was really interesting. They changed the price of it. It was a pillow. And they changed the price of it, like, as I was looking at it. And in there's a SKU number and all of that. But also in there was like what looked like a hash, like all hex, and it was weird.
Okay.
Like almost like a Bitcoin log entry.
I don't know what that looks like.
It's just a string of letters and numbers.
Well, as far as those SKU numbers and item numbers, that right there is what some folks have been actually tying a bridge between the Wayfair kind of the phenomenon, because, like, as you said, it's not this kind of thing. These anomalies are not unique to Wayfair, but taking those SKU numbers from Wayfair and putting them into Yandex.
Yeah.
You hear about what's going on.
You could make something up and get the same result.
Well, perhaps.
No, you can't. I've done it.
The Yandex stuff is that's the other sick one there, too. And so there's been a lot of work done over the weekend to try to piece it all together and create a bigger picture and as you said before, once that, I mean, here's some of the stupidity I saw. There was a screenshot or something from one of these websites selling this thing or that, and people are zooming in on bookshelves in the background, or they're zooming in on a coffee table that has a bottle of like red colored soda, and people are like, "What's that supposed to mean? Mm-hmm. A bottle of blood?"
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everybody has to be careful that they don't go too far. And then there's Photoshop screenshots out there now. And then the people that are like making some connection, there are some people making a connection between like little minute details, and they're randomly finding other things that happen to have the, just be very careful. I'm not saying that none of these things are true. I'm just saying it's a dangerous area to be in, because there's high potential to completely mislead and jade an entire group of people who may be new to all of this. It's really dangerous if you don't. The misinformation and disinformation that spiral out of these things is super. It's super detrimental to what we're trying to accomplish, in my opinion. So Wayfair. There's Wayfair.
That's what's happened over the weekend. Yes.
Yeah, Wayfair was big over the weekend. Still,
here's the other thing. I'm moving away from that just for a second. Before I got on the air, I guess this also happened over the weekend. It's maybe a six minute segment that Jim Jordan did with Maria Bartiromo. You watch that?
No.
It was another great review. I think the president retweeted it. It was another great review over everything that's happened, from Michael Flynn to the complete fraud that was committed to push the Russia scandal into the public view, and to also keep pushing and evolving an investigation based on something that had absolutely no merit whatsoever. It was a great, great review. But there's a few things that just still get me on the lower third of the broadcast on Maria Bartiromo's show. There is the question about whether or not the John Durham report is going to be coming out in the summer or after the election.
It's like they're doing it on purpose at this point.
It seems like it, because there's no report. They're all saying the same shit. But the other thing there too is I don't know. Yeah, you listen to Jim Jordan. I said, this is great, great review. And he's talking about how there needs to be justice for people like Jim Comey and all of his friends at the top of the FBI. And he, you know, obviously I know he knows that the CIA needs to be held accountable too, but he just kept the focus on the FBI. And I'm saying to myself, here we are still talking about the same old stuff. While that's happening, they're changing the names of the Redskins and every other mascot in the country, scrubbing, repainting, renaming street names, painting over streets, changing the names of parks, promoting fake national holidays and demeaning the 4th of July. And here we are waiting. We don't even know whether or not it's a report or a string of indictments that Durham is working on. And even if he does bring it on out, what the hell does it even matter what we're living? The minefield that we're trying to take our steps through right now, the communist minefield. Every step you take, something blows up in your face. They've got this entire country rigged, and we're talking about this shit. I'm getting so frustrated. So frustrated.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that it's important still. That's my opinion. But
obviously it's important. But well, I mean,
did you see what happened on Friday when President Trump commuted Roger Stone's sentence?
The reaction, the reaction was predictable. It was great.
Didn't you like it? There's Robert Mueller coming out with an op-ed. I wonder who wrote it for him. Here, let's listen to Greg Jarrett real quick talk about how President Trump commuted Roger Stone's sentence.
You're a friend of Donald Trump trying to get a fair trial there, where in the last election, more than 90% of the people voted in favor of Hillary Clinton and a scant 4% for Donald Trump. And it was underscored by the bias of the jury foreperson, which emerged after the trial. She was virulently anti-Trump, communicating social media posts, accusing Trump and his supporters like Roger Stone of being racist, hashtag Klan president. And she had a powerful ability to influence and induce the entire jury to have a conviction against Roger Stone. The judge should have granted a new trial, but said, oh, gee, it's your lawyer's fault. They should have discovered the bias ahead of time. That's an admission that there was bias. He did not get a fair trial.
Emily, in your perspective, do you think the president made the right decision?
I think so. And here's why. To echo what Greg said, this is not a pardon. This is a commutation. So what is the difference between this and the 8,000 scheduled prisoners to be released in California next week? What's the difference between this and the 16,000 that were released within 4 weeks of the National Declaration of Emergency after the COVID outbreak? This is a 67-year-old man, and the facility that he was headed to in Jessup, Georgia, just released a report of 20 COVID positive inmates, up from zero. And remember that the DOJ opposed the stay that his attorneys had requested. So in terms of a vulnerable inmate, again, what's the difference between this and all of the inmates that the left is crying out for to be released? And that's why I have issue with what Adam Schiff tweeted out, for example, when he said there's a different criminal justice system, clearly, for the president's friends. But if you look at it under the eyes of a simple inmate and a commuted sentence who is maintaining and waiting for his appeal to come through, there's no difference. And final point, in the White House's articulation of why the president was undergoing this commutation, in addition to the points that Greg raised, they also said that as it became clear that the special counsel's office, that the investigation would not bear fruit, they, quote, resorted to measures essentially to give the appearance of criminality lurking below the surface. They resorted to process crimes, Emily, of high-profile individuals, and that is so important in the narrative that was pushed.
It's true.
Yeah.
Everything, poisonous tree.
Everything about this from 2016, everything about this has been trying to create the suspicion and trying to create the appearance that something is going on. And ever since then, especially when Mueller was Mueller out there doing his thing, it was the role of the press to keep those storm clouds gathered around the White House. Like but we're getting closer and closer. There's something going on. And then, of course, nope. I mean, people like Adam Schiff actually were comfortable enough of going on out there for 2 years saying, I have seen undeniable evidence that I cannot show anybody because it's currently classified.
Right. So, you know, yeah. Yeah. Which didn't exist.
But let me ask you, Tracy.
Yeah.
For all the people on out there who are screaming this and that about the pardoning there, I know Nancy Pelosi said she wants to write a law that you know, that actually limits the president's ability to pardon and commute sentences, which the law she needs to write is called an amendment to the Constitution. But she doesn't have the votes for that. Nobody will have the votes for that forever, I think. But the real thing here is, what is, once again, what is going to stop an eventual Democrat president again, or an eventual friend of this awful bureaucracy from coming on in and commuting the sentences of a James Comey?
Nothing.
Nothing is going to.
That doesn't mean we don't put him in there to begin with.
Yeah, I understand. But then what the hell are we really talking about? What kind of work? It's
accountability. Yeah. And it might be 5 years, 10 years, who knows? Let them suffer for as long as we can keep them in there. A conviction and accountability. Even in a pardon, your record isn't expunged. If you're convicted of something, you're convicted of it. Robert Mueller writes an op-ed for the Washington Post, of course. Russia's actions were a threat to America's democracy. It was critical they be investigated and understood. By late 2016, the FBI had evidence that the Russians had signaled to a Trump campaign advisor they could assist the campaign through the anonymous release of information damaging to the Democrat candidate.
Who's that, Papadopoulos?
Yeah. And the FBI knew that the Russians had done just that. Beginning in July 2016, WikiLeaks released emails stolen by Russian military intelligence officers from the Clinton campaign. Nope. Guess what? Never been proven. Even keep that case in court, you dumb.
Never been proven.
They had to drop cases against the Russians because they were so weak and the Russians fought them.
And wasn't Robert Mueller asked about that last August? And
he had no idea.
He said it wasn't within his purview to know whether or not, it wasn't in his purview.
Nothing was in his purview.
But he can write in an op-ed. He can write an op-ed about how definitively the Russians hacked the DNC.
Well, now guess what's going to happen?
What?
Lindsey Graham is pulling him in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee.
For what? This op-ed?
Not just because of the op-ed, but to talk to him about all the stuff that's been going on with all the, you know, crap that we've been learning about the Mueller investigation. Especially, we learned over the week, just last week, that Durham and Horowitz had all of these notes that that in the Flynn case, they had them all already. They had them the entire time. The FBI had them. But it was up to the prosecutor in the case to release that stuff. And that prosecutor was Van Grack, and he chose not to. So now my task is, you know, I got, gosh, this is going to pain me to say it. I got a $570 Pacer bill today. 10 cents a page. 10 cents a page.
That's a lot of reading.
Holy, oh, goodness. And then I have to go today and I have to search and see if Van Grack is on any cases still or if
just a regular word search.
Yeah, you could search for party. You could search for attorney. You could search for anything, really. Okay. So that's what I'm going to do today and see if what he's got going on. Just to let you know what forms the background of some of the things I talk about is 5,000 or so pages worth of reading. God.
Unbelievable.
It is. I think there's got to be something wrong here. $570. Holy moly. Anyway, so we learned all that over the weekend. So it's super interesting that Mueller comes out with this op-ed, which is just laughable. They're talking about how following the FBI director James Comey's termination, the acting attorney general named me a special counsel. And, you know, Rod Rosenstein, the guy who did that, actually retweeted this op-ed. And I'm like, everybody, look at this nonsense. They're all still banding together. And Peter Strzok came out. Once again, I've been targeted by the president in his search to... Oh, give me a break. These people are so stupid. Give me a break. Anyway, so Roger Stone went on the Joe Pag show and talked about what happened. And he still gets to challenge... he still gets to move forward with his appeal. He can still go through with his appeal. He's just not going to jail. So he will do that.
Well, I wish him luck in his endeavor. You know, I thought for a time there, we thought that the discovery process in his trial was actually going to bring about the origin story, the real origin story of the DNC hack.
Yeah, he was denied discovery in all of those things that he asked for.
You can't fault him. He was actually trying to do a major service for the country because nobody else is doing it.
Yeah.
Nobody else is doing it.
Keep eyes peeled for the Dark to Light podcast Roger Stone interview forthcoming.
Oh, man.
What?
Oh, that'll probably be that would be the focus of my question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to happen. The Good wheels stuff. Turn slowly behind the scene.
Well, you read this Axios article that was just put on out. I think it was yesterday at 7 o'clock. Axios put out here's the tweet. Scoop: Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows.
Yep.
Has told several White House staffers he's fed specific nuggets of information to suspected leakers to see if they pass them on to reporters. It's so funny to me that this is a scoop and still the press or anybody out there doesn't understand what the hell's been going on, why they've been wrong. Why they've been wrong so many times about so many things, and B, why it doesn't make them stop and try to assess who they are as people. And why this has been so effective in operation, because you're biased animals.
You know, Brian did a whole piece or thread about this over the weekend about how, you know, let's start on the leaks for argument's sake. This is what this is going to do is quell any leak. He leaked this out to the media as a tool to stop leaks. It's so genius. Somebody was like, oh, yeah, like he's really going to tell people. I'm like, yes, he is. He's going to tell everybody so that nobody leaks because they're all afraid they'll be found out. And it also gives them an idea that they've been doing this for quite some time.
Yeah, and, exactly.
And, you know, there was that story that came out over the weekend or last week, I'm sorry, from Fox about Durham. And we talked about it at the end of the show on Friday, I believe. And the story was that, you know, Durham is going to punt until after the election. And Brian made a great point, and he brought up like 10 or 12 examples of times where anonymous sources close to the matter, anonymous sources close with his thinking, anonymous sources who understand how the president thinks, you know, like all these nonsense things. They want a narrative out there, and they find or invent an anonymous source to tell them what they need to be able to print the story. And then he goes on to make some very, 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 I don't know. He makes assumptions about things that are, you can't prove. And he's very declarative about them. So I don't agree with that stuff because I never like to do that. I never like to declare something I'm suspecting to be true.
Yeah. It's great though to add a little bit of that insecurity into the mix there, just to poison the pond just a little bit more, because it doesn't, and not only, like you said, it doesn't add a little bit of a timid, it doesn't make people timid going forward. It also makes you rethink, or at least if you're a conscious, discerning person, it should make you rethink how many times you've been had in the past.
Yes, and how many people know that you've been doing it and they're just letting you fester out there, right? So, not to go in reverse, but I meant to bring this up. Andrew Weissman has a book coming out, Frank, in September.
Really?
Yes, an insider account of the Trump-Russia investigation, a meticulous account where the law ends inside the Mueller investigation will be published by Random House on 29 of September. The publisher promised a meticulous account of the Mueller team's probe and its ongoing battles with the Trump administration. You know, the battles where they provided millions of pages of information to them.
And they couldn't find anything.
Yeah. Millions of pages of information, every single thing that they asked for, access to every single witness they could possibly hope to interview, completely outside of the bounds of what is normal and customary in something like this. Nobody was held back from talking to them. Not one person. Even the president of the United States of America answered written questions in this witch hunt of a farce of an investigation.
And I'm glad that he did, because if you look at what's happened here, because of course, if you go on certain parts of Twitter, if you go on, you watch people do the President Trump criminal roundup.
Oh, yes.
Tweets that they do.
Oh, yeah.
You have a national security advisor who's a felon. You have a so-and-so who's a felon. You have a former campaign manager who's a felon.
I hope you remember that.
Yeah, you go on through everything. You say, okay, yeah, the financial crimes from 13 years ago, process crime over here, Papadopoulos, Manafort, Stone, all this crap, Cohen, all this crap. You can't pull them away from that stuff. And then you start asking yourself, okay, well, thank God he only sent in a couple of written questions, because the whole time he's like, I'll sit down with Mueller, so you better not. You better not, because that was the only thing. If they wrapped up all those people with process crimes, you ask a question one way, you ask another one, you can't do it. They wanted the same thing for Donald Trump, but they had to just settle on smearing as many people around him as they could.
Yeah, I mean, and then that's not even including all the people that got wrapped up in it. And, you know, do we talk about the grand jury material and the FOIA lawsuits that are ongoing and stuff? So I don't think we did. Jason Leopold is a writer from BuzzFeed, and he's like the king of the FOIA. Like, he has filed so many FOIA requests, way more than Judicial Watch ever has, in my opinion. I mean, his library of FOIA response is pretty huge. And it's great because, you know, he might be a BuzzFeed reporter, but that stuff's super valuable to us, too. So he files all these FOIA requests for the Mueller probe. And, you know, obviously, Nadler and his ilk are like begging for the grand jury material and everything to be released so that they can trash anybody who testified in front of the grand jury about their niece's affair with their cousin. You know what I mean? Like, and so Jason Leopold releases this stuff after, and not only does he release it, but it's available on the web. So if you go to the DOJ and you just do a quick search for FOIA releases, everything that's released via FOIA to any news organization is also released on their website. So like CNN can't hide their FOIA production. And you can tell when like Leopold gets a FOIA production and he doesn't write anything about it, it's because there's nothing anti-Trump or detrimental to Trump in there. So his most recent ones that they bragged about had nonsense about Roger Stone that everybody already knew and was mischaracterized to mean something that it didn't mean. And inside there also was another interesting little nugget, Frank. There is a 302 form in there dated July of 20, I think it was it 2019 or 2018? I put it in the Telegram chat with us. Hold on a second. Let me just pull it up. Here it is. Yeah, there is a 302 in the supposedly Mueller investigation release that's dated 8/13/2019. The interview was done 7/29/2019. That's a problem because the investigation was all sewn up by then. No?
Yeah. It was sewn up in March. Well, we got the report in March, right?
Yep. So if the team was disbanded, was this an accident? Did this get put in there by accident? What is this? Of course, there was no question from anybody about it because why would they want to know why? You know what I mean? But it's all redacted. You can't really read anything in it. But Leopold is like, I will not stop until I get everything from the Mueller investigation. The only reason that they want stuff from the Mueller investigation is to be able to continue the smear machine in public. Like, grand jury testimony is not supposed to ever be made public. How are you ever going to get a witness to go in to testify in front of a grand jury if you're going to release everything they say afterwards? It's supposed to be one of the most secret proceedings ever. They could ask them about, you know, they could be interviewing them. Look how they got Manafort on the bank stuff, on the financial crimes, right? They could have been asking him, you know, did you have an affair on your wife? Were you sleeping with this woman? And these people are under oath. And then, like, that goes into the news because they don't like you. You see what I mean?
Yeah. No, well, listen, they want to tear away. They don't care about what they destroy.
No, they don't.
They don't care about what they destroy. They've got a mission to accomplish here. They don't care.
They don't care. Well, I got an email where I went over this last night. Let's talk about fundraising emails. Do you get any?
Every once in a while, but honestly, I don't get them from, I get them more from like change.org, and I get them from a lot of left wing things, but I get them.
Okay. So I am signed up, not on purpose, but on different like lists, I guess, for President Trump. And I guess that they share information between the Trump campaign, the RNC, and Win Red, which is the Act Blue equivalent for the right. Finally, they have one. And I've been getting really angry lately. Like, first of all, I get text messages from God knows how many of these lists, and they've been increasingly more nasty. Like, when I donate to the campaign, I donate from a certain email that I've set up to donate from it, right? So those emails I get, you know, I've donated, but I also have other email addresses on other lists that I don't donate from. So I just wanted to read to you a couple of examples and show you the difference between emails that are coming from a GOP domain versus emails that are coming from the Trump domain. You ready?
Yeah.
This I'm about to read. Let me just get situated here. This I'm about to read is coming from the GOP domain. It was the first email that I got that was like so disturbing to me that I had to share it. It says this. It had come, this came after another email came asking me to be a part of this club I'm about to talk about. Tracy, how do you want to be remembered? As a patriot who fought to keep America great, or as an un-American liberal who stood idly by as radical Democrats ripped our nation apart?
Get out of here.
I swear to God, Team Trump just informed me that you haven't accepted my father's offer to join the Trump 100 Club, and I have to admit, I'm pretty disappointed. Trump 100 Club members are going to be the ones President Trump relies on when he needs the advice of real Americans.
This is official. This is an official. This is not
from the GOP. He'll be counting on your feedback to represent the views of millions of voters. I will hold your spot open until 11:59 p.m. tonight before it was permanently rescinded.
That's unbelievable.
In so many different ways. I mean, first of all, do you think I'm an idiot? Like 99% of Americans who read that are going to be like, it almost feels to me, and I'm just this speculation, my opinion, I have nothing to back this up. I'm just making that very clear. It feels like they're doing it on purpose. It feels like they're doing it on purpose to piss us off. It really does. Here's the Trump campaign one. Ready?
But how does pissing us off in that way help them at all?
It helps us to get pissed because nobody can tell that it's not from Trump. It appears as though it's the Trump campaign.
Oh, wait, but it's not. This is what I'm saying. I know where this has come from, where it says it has come from. But is it verifiably coming from Trump's son?
No.
And the GOP?
It's coming from the GOP because it's their domain in the from address.
But it's not officially coming from the GOP.
No, it is. It is. So you click the link to donate. That's where it brings you to the GOP.
Okay. Well, could it be that the link is real, but the email campaign is fake?
No, this is real, Frank.
Then why the hell are they what the hell's the point of taunting people and trying to use this almost like this bullying reverse psychology? You're questioning people's patriotism four months before an election?
Yes. And the text messages aren't even any better. They're horrible. The text messages are horrible. So this is the Trump campaign email. This is coming from the Trump campaign. Okay. This is there. If you click this link, it brings you to the Trump campaign, not the GOP. Ready? Friend, wow. We can't tell you enough how integral grassroots conservatives like you have been in our success so far. Despite the endless attacks by the fake news media, we're stronger than ever. We've been shattering fundraising expectations since day one, and we haven't slowed down since. In addition to raising a record-breaking $14 million online in one day, we finished the second quarter strong with another $266 million, a massive fundraising achievement. Thank you, friend. Supporters like you are always showing up big league for the president when it matters most. President Trump knows none of this would be possible without you on our team, and he wants to do something extra special for his loyal supporters. Use this link to fill out for your free gift. Now, that's one. This is the one that came after the one that I just told you about, okay? The subject is my father, and this is the GOP email, again, like I told you. Friend, I hate to be the one to tell you, but according to our records, your Trump 100 Club offer has been rescinded. You've received multiple emails from Team Trump, including my father, inviting you to join this brand new prestigious club, and you've ignored every single one of them.
Oh, he even uses they even use my father.
Yeah.
You ignored my dad.
President Trump knows.
This is not good.
It's not. President Trump knows you've always been such a strong supporter in the past, so he'd agreed to let me reactivate your offer for one more day. You now have until 11:59 p.m. tonight to accept your offer to join the Trump 100 Club. After that, you may not get another chance.
Oh my God. This is such a bad move.
I know.
This is such a, oh my gosh. The only thing that's missing is like you getting three more emails afterwards.
Telling you.
Them counting down from three. I'm giving you 3 seconds. You get that count of three. You better
before
sign
you're
up.
Considered an anti-American liberal.
No, there's I wouldn't be surprised if we hear that there is some sort of a hack.
No, Frank.
It's not real.
No, it's real.
That's horrible.
This has been going on. They're just getting worse and worse and worse.
I don't even understand. Why do you need to bully people when things are so bad out there? Just keep talking about the issues.
I listen, it's a fundraising tactic that tends to, I guess, work for people. I don't think it works for us. I really don't. Here, no, Trump, this is the I got that email I just read you, and maybe 3 hours, 4 hours later, I got this one. This is from the Trump campaign. Ready? Tracy, what I'm about to tell you is not public knowledge. I'm hosting a very important event soon, and I've requested you be my VIP guest. You've always been one of our top supporters, so I decided to do something extra special. I've unlocked an exclusive double entry for you and you only. All you have to do is contribute $20 or more, and you'll be automatically entered twice to win a trip to meet your favorite president at my upcoming event. This offer is only for you, Tracy, so don't share this. Now, that is a tried and true sales method of making you feel like you're the only one who knows. It's BS. It's BS. Obviously, you know you're being sold to. Obviously, people aren't stupid, but at least they're being kind to you.
Yeah. At least it's a nice little lie.
I know. I mean, this is like ridiculous. Frank, I couldn't believe when I read it. I was so angry.
But you know what? Now that you say it, I think you're not the only one who's called attention to this recently. No.
Kurt Schlichter did, and that's what made me go back through all my emails, because Kurt Schlichter said, don't ever text me like this ever again. I'm not an idiot. And tagged Pascal, and Pascal showed up underneath and said, that's not us. And Kurt said, yes, it is you. You're responsible for everything that has to do with your campaign logo, even if it's not coming directly from you. You had better get a handle on this. And everybody underneath his tweet started saying, I have the same thing happen. They're texting me 10 times a day. Like, everybody's really mad about it. So let me try. I'm trying to find his text message. Did you see other people too?
Yeah. Well, now that I think about it, I remember this, something like it, but I didn't go into any details. I see so many things in passing on Twitter, but to hear this read out, I understand why there was.
Here it is.
That's just so bad.
It comes from a number that's not 88022 or whatever. Alert. President Trump texted you. Oh, President Trump texted and you, in all capitals, didn't respond. Don't let him down again, in capitals. Stand with Mitch and Trump here with a five match. Only 2 hours left. Fun red.
Don't try to inspire action out of me by bringing up Mitch McConnell, please. Mm-hmm. Stand by Trump and Mitch. Just stop. You're overplaying your hand here. Not a lot of us like Republicans, okay?
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that nobody wants to donate to the GOP. Nobody.
Not a lot of us like Republicans, my friends.
You're lucky that you have us right now. You're lucky. I'm telling you. That's what I was doing on Friday. I said, I see what's happening in South Carolina. They're really pushing in South Carolina with these liberals. There's a group called the Indivisibles we talked about, right? And I see what's happening. So I said, I don't care if I'm the only person standing here fighting these people. I will do it. And I said, and to the GOP here in South Carolina, you better get out of your own way. Like, they have this big, this old boys club here. It's like old school GOP, where they think they've got a stranglehold on power and they don't need to let anybody else in. And their little good old boys club can huck it up at the local bar or wherever they go and drink their expensive drinks. No, 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 no. You're not going to win without us anymore. So you better let us in. And if you don't want to let us in, move the F out of the way, because you're letting our state go. It's not the same anymore. It's not the same GOP.
Nope. And
they don't want to let go of it, Frank. They don't want to let go.
First of all, the obsession over money is so ridiculous. 2016 was a rebuke of big money wins elections.
Yeah.
It was a rebuke. Hillary Clinton spent almost $2 billion to lose.
Yeah.
So it's concentrate on the message, whatever the hell it is.
Not that. That message is not good.
No, that message is awful.
You don't want that message.
He pretty much said if Trump loses, it's your fault as an individual, Tracy. It was your fault. You didn't answer the call immediately. You. We were one person short, and it was you.
And then, don't make yourself a liberal. Give us money today. Otherwise, we hate you.
Yeah, don't go out. Voting is secondary to sending us money right now. Just make sure people go out and vote.
That's what's important. And the thing is this, they need money. They need money. It's not like they don't need money. So I made sure to say, like, look, if you are one of the people that donates to campaigns, keep donating to President Trump or just directly to local races or Win Red, because Win Red is doing a great job, I think, of dispersing that money. But if you're not, like, and if you are, just make sure you go out and vote, because that's really what's important. To go out and vote. Anyway, people were like, I don't know if we should be doing this in public. And I'm like, I don't care. It's got to stop. They have to know how people are feeling.
Oh, indeed. Indeed.
So there's that. That's it for today, Frank. You've been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
another week, Val, and
Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you on Wednesday.
Later.
Radio Influence strives to bring you excellence in podcasting. We work with personalities like TV chef Brian Duffy, radio personalities like Ian Beckles, news and political pundits like independent journalists Frank and Tracy Beans, experts from the sports world like veteran football scout and coach Chris Landry, pro wrestling personality David Penzer, MMA experts Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan, and strength and conditioning coach Jeff Crochelle. If you're looking for food, sports, music, entertainment, politics, no matter the topic, Radio Influence has something for everyone. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.